Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
We're back for Caravan of Garbage. Last week, we looked at something Judge Dreadful.
James is going to turn it around in the next sentence. He's got a pun play on words for dread that means good, right?
Yeah, I do. Here we go. This week, we're looking at a better movie. Leave a like. Leave a like. We're, of course, talking about Dread 2012, or Dread 3D, as it was known when it came out.
Was it?
That mustn't have helped. It was on all the posters. It's in, like, a lot of the official titling.
Huh.
Yeah.
Was it in 3D? Should I have gotten a better movie-going experience by watching it in 3D? The idea that it was in 3D is not what killed it. It's that it's an R-rated action movie based on a comic book premise that nobody has any idea about.
Marketed weirdly.
Yeah.
People, like, bad faith from the last one.
People thought it was a sequel to the last one. The people that knew about it at all. And this was, like... I mean, the Avengers had just come out, I think.
Yeah.
So there was still a comic book movie stigma attached of, like, comic book... I don't know. I think Avengers was a fluke.
Kind of thing, you know? Yeah, right, okay. I mean, off the back of, you know, the Dark Knight trilogy and the Avengers, like, a property like this, like, lesser known-ish, it is a risk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like if this had have come out now, it probably would have made more than the $41 million it did make off its $45 million budget.
Oh, dear.
Tragic.
Yeah.
I figured out why this movie is so good, though.
Okay, I'm ready.
It has a screenplay by Alex Garland. And you might be like, Alex Garland from Ex Machina and Annihilation and the guy who wrote Sunshine. And I say, yes, the very same.
That's right.
And apparently, Carl Urban has mentioned, he's the one who actually directed this movie. Like, the actual director, you know, he was involved to some extent. But this is really considered Alex Garland's first directorial effort.
That's very interesting.
And that makes
Is that scandalous?
I guess.
How does a writer direct a film? Are they like, more description? Say more description.
These words, say these words the way I've written them. Or maybe put your own spin on it. That's directing, right?
I'm not a director. I am the director. No, your place. You're not the director anymore. I'm the director. I'm Alex Garland. I'm the director.
So I think that's why this works so well. In all honesty, what else is fascinating about this is it's a bottle episode. You know what I mean?
It really is. Yeah.
It's not end of the world. Stakes are high. It's like drugs, and we'll just stop these drugs.
Is that to cut costs?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of cost cutting things.
Well, I mean, that's the associated with this. The question here is: does this really feel like Dread, Judge Dread, like the comic book Judge Dread? And I guess the second question is, does this need to be a Judge Dredd movie?
Well, yeah.
And look, aesthetically, it doesn't really feel that much like Judge Dredd.
No.
Like, it's certainly been pared down. It's not like, you know, weird Gianni Versace glam of the last movie.
Big heels, big boots.
Right? A big codpiece.
Yes.
It's not the, you know, super outlandish mega cities of, you know, just
mayhem. The comics and that one street they built in that
yes,
last
exactly.
One,
yeah. You know, the mayhem and madness and everybody is some sort of... you know, bizarre neon clown, you know, on the street. It's more like an exaggeration of just modern day.
Yes.
The modern day slums of the world, except expanded out to cover 800 million people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it might be the downfall of this movie a little bit, I guess, but at the same time, I really like that aesthetic because they filmed in like Johannesburg and Cape Town. They filmed a bunch of like regular streets because it was apparently very grid-like, the areas they filmed in. And then they throw in the big towers with CGI, a few highways and some cars and here and there. But it's all very much real locations.
Uh-huh.
And I think that, you know, that really speaks to the look of this movie. But beyond that, if you look at Judge Dredd himself, they built him like a riot cop.
Yes.
You know, and intentionally.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If you look at, he doesn't have like the crazy shoulder pads. You know what I mean? And the big gold chain and the eagle and all that kind of thing.
I mean, there's an eagle, but it's not a, you know.
Yeah. But even like the badge is probably the most outlandish thing on it, I guess.
But to answer the other question, could you make this movie without Judge Dredd? You could.
But no one would see it more.
No one, or even less. I don't know. But that's the thing. Like, I think this is a more subtle take on Dredd.
Yeah.
You know, a great example would be how each particular actor says or screams, "I am the law."
Yeah, sure.
But this particular Judge Dredd, he more encompasses the spirit of Judge Dredd, I think.
Yeah.
Because in this, he's less of a man and he's more of a vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When we first see him, we just see him from like a distance,
mm-hmm.
and like we often see him from like from the perspective of his hand drawing his gun out of his holster.
Yep.
There's a lot of shots of him. It's just his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see, like, it's just,
I mean, if you can't focus on the eyes, what else you got?
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. We get two perspectives in this movie. We get rookie Judge Anderson, who at one point we see look out into the mega city from the Peachtree Tower block. They've just come out of a firefight and, you know, she's wrecked and ruined by this, and she looks out in the cities and she realizes that everything is like, that the whole city is like this, and the whole city is this awful nightmare.
Yeah.
But for Judge Dredd, from his perspective, this is literally just any other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you watch it from the perspective of, like, he does this every single day. Like, every move he makes is just like, yeah, I'm going to do this tomorrow and I'm totally fine with that. Like, you know, at the point where the tower is like locked down and, you know, dangerous gangs are out to destroy them, he's still like, okay, Anderson, you're the rookie. Make a play.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
This is still a training exercise.
He's still in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's never a moment of panic. There's never really a moment of compromise. But I guess there is kind of more towards the end. But what I think also distinguishes him from the Stallone Dredd is
he's not the worst person.
He's not the worst. He's fair. Like, he'll stun a kid even if the kid is going to shoot him.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of leeway in him. You know what I mean? He's fair, and it feels earned, his fairness.
Well, exactly, and that's hard to do even if you're not aware of the character of Judge Dredd.
Mm.
But in the, you know, in the first one, in the 1995 version,
the very first incarnation ever,
right, yes. That version, and it's hard to do because, again, Judge Dredd is supposed to be an iconic character and also a caricature.
Mm.
So how do you play that? And Stallone went with just an unbelievably unlikable character who will not bend for any extenuating circumstances whatsoever. And when that character, you know, falls afoul of the justice system, you don't care.
And like, he can't comprehend it either, because he's like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Everything's black and white. And this guy's like, there's grey area in this.
Exactly, right. As they approach the peach trees, like, there's a homeless guy and he's like, move along.
Yeah.
Or he could have given him, you know, weeks in the ISO cubes kind of thing.
But also, that moment really speaks to the character, because when he comes back, even though he's got a million better things to do, he's like, I told you, you're coming in.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's that kind of guy. He's like, I'm fair, but fuck you. Like, that's the kind of attitude I get from this guy.
Uh-huh.
I've got a question about him, though.
Yes.
I don't think he's famous the way that the comic book version or the Stallone one is.
Yeah.
I think he's famous among other cops, but most of the other people in the real world, they just think he's another judge.
I think that's true as well. And I think it's never, I don't think, outwardly stated, but I think this is meant to be quite early on in the career of Judge Dredd. Because, again, in this movie, Judge Anderson is like the first judge cadet who exhibits any kind of psychic powers. But in the comic books, the side judges are quite commonplace. Like, there's a whole division of them to you know, use their powers to fight crime, whereas she seems to be the first. So I think you're right. I think this is meant to be early days. And he isn't a legend amongst the world. He's just known amongst other cops as
for being a bit of a prick.
Yeah.
And you get that sense from when he comes up against some crooked judges. But there's never bad guys that are like, oh, shit, it's Dredd,
right?
You know?
Uh-huh.
They're just like, it's just another cop we got to shoot.
Exactly. We, the audience, learn to respect him because of his actions, not because of, like, a legendary aura that's been dropped on us by the director.
Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to also talk about how there's future stuff in this, but not really. And I wonder whether it's because we're now in 2020 and this came out in 2012, but it's like facial recognition, drones, like smart guns and shit like that. There's bits and pieces you're like, that's futuristic-esque. But there's nothing here that's like, wow, the future. I'm trying to think back to 2012. I know there were like the start of drones and there was facial recognition, but is there anything here that really feels like, whoa?
Implied cannibalism?
I think
sure. Probably.
Is that a futuristic thing? I guess it is.
It's a timeless thing, James.
Okay, yeah. Depending on the economy, right?
I mean, they never outright say it, but there is a... They do... when there is a shooting quite earlier in the, like a mass shooting quite earlier in the movie, a vehicle is sent out to do some, to take the bodies in for recycle.
Right.
And it's never really implied what it's for, but what else would it be for?
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
As far as I'm yum, also yum. Concerned. Think about this movie as well. It's grim and it's bloody and it's awful. But it's,
oh, and also people seem to be quite all right with it. Like people, like it's a world that, again, that 30 minutes after this mass shooting, people are like,
We'll open the mall again.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Uh-huh. Exactly, yeah. The thing about this movie as well is it's like it's grim and it's bloody and it's awful, but it's also, it's a beautiful looking movie.
It really is,
I mean, outside of the slow-mo stuff, but also the slow-mo stuff. They filmed that at something like 4,000 frames per second. Don't quote me on that. It's probably a different amount of framage, but even the...
1 frame per second. James, you are way off.
But even... You know, watching somebody get shot through the face.
Yeah.
It's balletic and it's beautiful and it's colourful and it's vibrant. And a lot of that was done practically where they'd shoot someone with like an air cannon and get the ripples of their body.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oh, wow.
And then they'd add like the CGI blood splatter or that they'd film in front of a green screen. And I think it really, it makes you go, this isn't so much like it's bloody, but it's not like turn away, like wincing.
Yeah, right.
Like, you can see bones like breaking through arms kind of, you know, bones piercing skin and stuff like that.
You say that, but several men are skinned alive.
Yeah. Though there are exceptions.
In real time though. Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. But. Do you know what I mean? Like the death of Ma at the end when she hits the ground, you don't really see her like face like split apart. It's just this like this beautiful display of like blood that kind
of. You want to talk about Ma?
I do, yeah.
Lena Headey, who's normally like, what I like about this is she's committed to being like a femme fatale, but not in that classic way of like beautiful, but you know, with the deep dark secrets, and she's. You know,
she's using her feminine ways
to reach the top of the food chain. No, she's just
she's killing people all the way up,
chopping people to bits to reach the top of the food chain. Yeah, like she's committed to the scars and the hair and the teeth and
the
dirt.
And I'd imagine that's something if she wanted to, she could fix.
Yeah,
but it's like no, this is very much who I am.
And we don't get a huge amount of screen time with the character, but we do get enough of her origin to be like, oh, I get.
Yeah,
how she ended up here, kind of.
Oh,
thing.
She dug out Domhnall Gleeson's eyes. That's not cool, you say?
Cool at all? But I understand she's had it pretty rough.
I think also the reason that you were like, was this in 3D or whatever, is because it's not filmed in the way that a terrible 3D movie is filmed.
Sure,
you know what I mean. they used all the riggings and all that kind of thing to, you know, so they don't have to post-convert it. But there's nothing like, look out, Dredd, there's a bullet flying towards you and the audience as well, look out!
Anderson, the only way you're going to be able to defeat these guys is with a ping-pong paddle with a ball and string on it. Tap-a-da-tap-a-da-tap-a-da-tap.
Yeah, so I think it was probably a waste of time. And I didn't see this in the cinemas because I was teaching up north at the time. Did you see this in the cinemas?
No, I was against movies at the time.
Wow. What were you doing?
No, I'm probably...
Books.
Yeah, books. Yeah, books.
But I don't know. I feel like if there was a sequel to this, which we will talk about, you kind of need to go mutants and more telekinesis and weirder weapons. Yeah. And
well, I guess, you know, we can build up to that. Again, if this is early days and radiation is just causing some psychic abilities in some people, but as the dialogue maybe suggests, most people are getting horrible mutations. We will see that later on, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, going out to the wasteland and all those things. But there's something that I know people want to know about you and what you think.
Oh, Mace's minigun minute?
Correct. We do it every week.
That's right.
We do it everything from Aladdin to Zoolander.
That's right.
That's my
both terrible miniguns in those movies in the sense that neither of them had miniguns at all. Yeah.
You've got stipulation for miniguns, though. Do you want to lay them out?
Okay, well, the minigun, traditionally, it has to be...
Not very mini at all.
They're not mini at all. They're mini... It's a miniature version of the kind they hang on fighter planes. That's why it's called a minigun. It's kind of a joke. But they're not meant to be manned portable, but in a lot of instances they are. Like the classic one, Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
Correct.
Here's the thing. They have to have 6 barrels. Mm-hmm. Heavy machine gun, that's not a minigun. It's not 8 barrels. It's not even a real thing. Are you kidding me?
Whatever movie that is in, you. What do you stop?
And 3, it has to be a real one.
Yeah.
And these ones, I think, fall down a little bit because they look like they're CGI.
But
yes,
I mean they are. Yeah, yes, yeah. But they are cutting through people.
Oh my god, the action is spectacular.
It fits.
We haven't really even covered the. I mean, no. We talked about the slow mo stuff, but the action in this movie is that scene particularly just incredibly brutal. And speaking of Mama, just the idea of like.
She'll just cut through a level of people she doesn't care. Know.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. You can see the
glint. To kill one guy.
Yeah, you can see the glint of the muzzle flash in her eyes at one point, and I'm like, oof.
She's loving it, mate.
She's absolutely loving it, yeah.
See, I would give it a pass if it was James's minigun minute. It's not. I just want to clarify that with everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Because it is this hyper-violent, stylized world. Mm. So I would have thought that maybe you would give it the same, but
No, it should have been real miniguns, and Carl Urban should have been willing to cop at least 3 or 4 slugs.
Sure.
In order for this to get my seal of approval.
Well, speaking of, Dredd does get shot in this. And I got the sense through this movie that him and his comrade, they could die, you know?
Right.
He's not just like running through and he's fine and like, you know, he shoots over his shoulder and like 4 guys fall down. Though that probably does happen in this movie. You feel like, Dredd, you need to be careful because there's a lot of danger going on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He feels like he could die at any minute and then that's just the end of the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they also, again, like you were saying, there's no shooting over the shoulder, but like they sort of behave like real cops. There's a scene right at the end where it's him and Anderson working their way up to Mama. They're working together. They're clearing the rooms together. It looks incredible.
Does look good.
And there's like a couple of great action sequences early on. We get the slow-mo one, but we also get a sequence where they're fighting through like the stun gas cloud. It's all green and neon.
Yeah.
And there's another one where they fight, you know, through a flashbang explosion.
And that gas, I don't know whether it is, but it looks real. Because often when you see gas in a movie, say like Batman v Superman, you can see that it's not quite.
Oh.
I mean, maybe it isn't real, I don't know. But I got the sense that it was. If you worked on the movie Dredd, if you're the gas man, please write in, let us know. What I also thought was really incredible about the way they made this movie, there's a sparing use of CGI shots, you know, when they're going like up the center of the complex. Mm-hmm. Like they obviously didn't build that whole thing. They built one corner of one level and then they just redressed it. So they didn't even do the whole side. So every time they did it, you know, they swap everything around and do it from a, you know, make it
sounds like they
angle.
Did take something out of 1995's Judge Dredd. Yeah. Just that one street they kept moving around.
Yeah, but you didn't get the sense that, I thought they built them all, Mason, is what I'm saying. What a huge waste of money. Now, before I do trivia, pre-treatment trivia, which we do every week.
Yeah.
You got any more things to add?
It's a grand old time. Like, it's tough. I was going to say it's tough to be funny about this movie. It's tough to be funny at the best of times, James. You know us.
Yeah.
But when a movie is just straight up enjoyable and there's no glaring production errors, it's hard to make fun of it. But you know what? Not all of this is jokes, all right?
Not all of it is jokes. I'll also say that this came out around the same time as The Raid. And there was a lot of people saying that this borrowed from The Raid, you know, because it's about storming up a building and whatever and crime lords and et ceteras.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't line up timeline-wise. You know what I mean? It's they're two kind of independent ideas which kind of developed independently.
So. No, I think this studio was like, The Raid, huh? Well, quick, get a C-list superhero comic book license. Get it quick, build
what
a building.
What have we got? Yeah. Anyway, so Alex Garland actually wrote three treatments, because this is three treatment trivia. We do this every week. From every movie from Aladdin 2 to Zoolander 2.
Mm.
So these are some of the ideas he came up with. One was the Dark Judges treatment, which features an encounter between Dredd and the rival judge by the name of Judge Death.
Yes.
What's he all about? Death. Probably his skull. Has he got a skulled face?
Yeah, he's got a pretty scully face. Yeah.
Cool, good on him.
Yeah, yeah.
The second treatment is related to the Dredd and Cursed Earth storyline.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think, did we talk about that last week?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe you don't have to go out of the Cursed Earth, all right? It's an option.
It's an option.
You don't have to take it.
Okay, fair enough. And the third one was an adaptation of the pro-democracy terrorist attacking the judge's storyline. So there you go. But they went, all of these are too difficult to kind of get in scope-wise and budgetary, so let's keep this bottle episode. Let's just get Dredd getting some asthma inhalers.
Garland, this is primo stuff, but how about think of a corridor?
Think of a corridor. Think of a regular motorbike, if you could.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl Urban is really on that motorbike. Didn't take his helmet off the whole time. We should mention that. It totally doesn't detract from this movie.
No, how do you slightest. Like in some great chin acting? I mean, when that's all you got.
A lot of frowning. You know, like that sad blobfish? Mm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah. Great stuff. Really good. Hard to do, I'd imagine. So there's been talk of like, is this going to get a sequel? What else is going on in this universe? I can offer some updates here because I'd love to see more of this, but whether or not that happens, we'll see, won't we? There is a prequel motion comic, which you can watch on the YouTube.
Okay.
Here's a clip of it here. What do you think?
Oh,
yeah, I know,
it's
right?
It's just like being there.
in this room, watching that. Sure. There's also a sequel comic called Dredd Underbelly. I actually just read that before the start of this. It's very similar. There's a new drug on the street, and it's even more dangerous than the previous drug. So I would have liked to have seen it kind of expand out more.
It's called Fast Forward.
That's right.
You take it, and then it's like 2 hours later, and you're on your couch. You're like, what?
And you're 40 years older.
I missed all my favorite TV shows. And I'm 40 years older.
Yeah. So I did like it. It's a good read. And it's a beautiful looking book. And it brings in a little bit of kind of the mutant element because there's a mutant refugee kind of storyline going on with it. But part of me was like, this is a comic. You can do literally anything. Right, like, you don't want to bring in something
else. Have you read some of the other Judge Dredd comics? Yeah. Of course, they do a lot of weird stuff.
That being said, it's cool. It's really good. And the other thing is, there's a Mega City 1 series which is happening. It's not happening. They haven't said it's not happening.
Terrific. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so.
But why would they? Why would they say it's not happening? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Carl Urban says he would definitely take the role. Of course he would.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Carl Urban said, nah, not for me. This critically loved fan favorite. No, I wouldn't do it again for money and acclaim. Nope.
So according to Carl Urban himself, the concept is to build this show around more rookie judges and the new younger judges where Dredd himself would come in and out. So he stated that he would be interested in reprising his role for this show on the condition that Dredd's part be implemented in a meaningful way.
Interesting.
Kind of like Limitless, the series probably.
And he could do that from home, you know how? Full green body stocking, except for the mouth.
And
then he films it in his house and make like the shower or something. Great. Also, great callback in this movie, you know, when right at the start of the movie, he's like, are you ready? And she's like, and he's like, you don't look ready. And at the end, do you remember the end? And he's like, are you ready? And she's like, yes. And he's like, yeah, you look ready.
You look great.
That was sick. That was sick, wasn't it? Right? Yeah.
If you haven't seen Dredd, and even if you've watched this, I don't think it's going to detract from it. It's an absolute banger. This is my go-to if I'm editing and I just want something on in the background. Because it's just a beautiful looking movie.
It's a beautiful looking movie. Great action.
You get it.
Characters you can get. Olivia Thirlby, who played Judge Anderson, met her husband on the set.
Really?
Yeah. So it's worked out for
she
everybody.
She should be in more things.
Except for the money people. It didn't work out for the money people at all.
We feel bad for you. But I do think, though, a series could definitely work from this now. I think there's maybe lower stakes in terms of monetary requirements. You know, you can build up characters over a series of episodes. You can get a cult following. You know, you can do it week to week so people, you know, it gains that kind of buzz. You know what I mean?
Netflix will give you money for anything.
Just give you money. They don't give a shit. They don't care. They're heavily in debt and they're giving everybody
millions
money.
Millions of dollars. It's astounding. How are they going to make that back? Judge Dredd series? Probably not.
That doesn't seem likely.
No.
Yeah, but definitely check it out if you haven't. But if you're like, but what's next week, James? We've talked about the Dredd movies. Have you run out of things for Caravans of Garbages? Yes.
Yeah, we have.
No, Mason, there's always things to talk about, good or bad, because that's what this show is now. It's just whatever.
Mostly bad, though, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff out there is bad. They keep, Netflix has given people so much money.
How are they doing it?
I don't know. Where's it coming from? Where's this dark money coming from? The dark web? Bitcoin?
Potentially.
Oh, my God.
So here's a hint towards next week.
That's right, we're buying Bitcoin.
Oh, no. Is that good or bad now?
I don't know.
Yeah. So we're doing, for the audio listeners, we're doing, what are we doing? Clone Wars stuff, the final arc of Clone Wars.
Oh, we already recorded that.
So it's ready to go. Yes, that's a good thing, isn't it, that we're coming back to?
Yeah.
That's fun.
I liked it.
Yeah, to line up with The Mandalorian. And when I come out of this, you're going to say, oh my God, Star Wars or something, you know what I mean? And we'll make it an edit and Ben will fix it up. It'll be really good.
Am I doing that now? Or is that,
now.
That already happened?
This is me teeing you up to go. Oh. 3, 2, 1, and go.
Oh my God, that's a Star Wars thing.
It's a Star Wars thing, Mason, for The Mandalorian. So come back for that if you want. But if you'd like to see it early, you can actually go to bigsandwich.co. They all go up early all the time, along with the extended audio edition of these. Plus, we have other stuff on there.
We've got bonus podcasts. We've got movie commentaries.
There's so many things going on, isn't there?
That's right.
Many great contents. So check it out if you want. Also, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out every Monday morning. If you want to swing by and check out the news of what's happening in entertainment, hot goss.
That's right.
Or just like, hey, they announced the show. You know, that's we do a lot of that.
That's true, yeah.
And then we track it for 3 years before it gets cancelled.
That's right.
It's really exciting.
And then people listen to the old episodes and they're like, well, you guys didn't know nothing about it. How did you not know that was going to get cancelled?
We never do.
We never do.
We never learn. All right, guys, see you next week.
Grab that Dredd, everyone.
Whoa!
Buy his codpiece.
Is this guy got a codpiece?
No, he's just pants, I think.
He wouldn't even need one, would he?
What does that mean?
He's just that kind of guy.
Bulletproof penis.
He's freeballing it.
Oh, my God, wow.
See you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.